Well, we pray, Heavenly Father, we're again grateful to be in your presence in this house, Lord, to worship your holy name, trusting, Father, that you reveal yourself even more thoroughly than previously, we might grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us this morning, Lord, as we study. May our minds be fruitful. May the words, Lord, be simple and easy to understand. Yes. Give us this ability, Lord, because we know it must be a word that can be adapted, as it were, unto children. You said, except we become as children, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, help our understandings, Lord, to be your understanding. Even as a child has to understand, coming into this world, most of it from his parents and those around him. Even so, Lord, we know in your kingdom we have to have our understanding from you. So help us to make our own understanding completely barren, in fact, to be entirely erased, that your understanding may be our portion. Father, we know that this is not difficult, that we would give ourselves over to you. And this morning we trust that we are doing that very thing. So help us in our meditations. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we're into the study of Christ as a mystery of God revealed. And I believe this morning it's number 15, about page 59, out of about 90 pages that Brother Branham brought us at that particular time. And in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he brought out a major point of how that God was in Christ manifesting himself, and which is true, he was manifesting and revealing himself. Because through manifestation, there is a revelation. In other words, you know that something is going on that is beyond you. As when Moses stood beside the burning bush, he said, I have to just look over this. He said, this is very, very, very strange how that this bush is burning and is not consumed. Now, there was a manifestation, and there had to be an explanation. And you notice that God did not manifest himself to a group of people. He did not manifest himself to Israel at that time. But what he did, he manifested himself to Moses. He explained himself to Moses. He sent Moses to Egypt with vindication, wherein God manifested himself in Egypt with signs and wonders. And then he manifested himself on Mount Sinai in a pillar of fire. But he already had proven who he was to the people. The people did not need to see the pillar of fire. It was sufficient that Moses saw the pillar of fire and that he came with the word to them. And you notice that Israel became very disconcerted in the presence of God. Many people say, well, if I could see that pillar of fire, if I could see God, I could see this. Yes, I know. You'd crawl under the rug or cut your throat. Anybody can talk. It's easy to talk. But once there's a supernatural experience that is really from God, you change your mind in a hurry. One vision will keep your mouth closed and your eyes cast down by days. Daniel, with visions, was dizzy in the head for 21 days. Anyway, Israel came to the place where they said, look, being so thoroughly disconcerted, they said, we cannot stand to hear his voice and see the pillar of fire, so that because God was thundering out at them and things were happening, most amazing. They were more than convinced, and they said, look, it's enough that we have somebody tell us. So therefore, let Moses tell us. God said, you have well spoken what you've spoken. From now on, never again will the people en masse ever deal with me, and I with them. I will deal with them through a prophet, and he is my channel. He will be, he will be me myself to you people. God is, the prophet is God to the people. Because that's what we find when Moses said, I cannot speak. I'm not a good speaker, but he said, Aaron, your brother, is very fluent, so therefore he will be your mouth and you will be God to him. Now, I am God, and I am God to you, and I wanted you to be God to the people. You wouldn't do it, so I'm going to take Aaron. But Aaron couldn't say, Aaron actually was a scribe. Aaron was just a scribe. Moses was the prophet. And so that's, we see that. So now, God manifested himself in Christ, and John the Baptist was on the scene to explain him. And he said, there is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now remember, John was a prophet and none greater. And at that time, no one is able to say that anybody but John saw the Spirit of God in the form of a dove coming down and resting upon Jesus. And nobody can say that anybody but John heard the voice articulate, this is my beloved Son. And now already God had told John, upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending and remaining there, that is the Messiah. That's the one. He said, behold the Lamb of God. Now, John was in the correct channel and the correct understanding of the presentation to the people who themselves had said, all right, Let not God appear to us. Let not God manifest. Let us have a prophet deal with us. Now, he was the great prophet, a great prophet. Then Jesus was the great prophet, the Messiah prophet, the Redeemer prophet. He was everything wrapped into human flesh that God wanted for the people at that time. Now, God did not want a man who would stand there and create worlds. He did not want a Moses who would bring on flies and all these things. What he was doing was preparing the people for redemption. And now here's God manifested in a human flesh. Here's a prophet standing there, and the prophet, the word comes to the prophet as the prophet stood in the water, and there he's able to say, this is that one. And John explained him, and the people turned him down. But you, nonetheless, God was manifested in Christ. And as Brother Branagh's title was, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. So therefore, God is a mysterious individual. Most people kind of think of him as the Hebrews and the Greeks did. It's nephesh or pneuma. Pneuma is spirit, which means wind, and nephesh is where you blow out of your mouth on a cold winter day, and it forms like a frost in the air. You say you can see your breath. Well, you really can't see your breath. You see steam. You don't see your breath, no man. It's like the poetry years ago said, who can see the wind? neither you nor I. But when the trees are bending low, you know, the wind is passing by. And that's kind of like the Hebrews had it, nephesh, you see. Now, no one can see God. There's no way you can see God. So God must now then bring upon a manifestation which he brought out in that time of the flesh. He indwelt the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christ is the manifester or the revealer of the unseen, the invisible God. And because he is unseen and you cannot contact him in the sense that, you know, you can just talk face to face and handle him like, you know, putty and clay and try to work him out in a test tube and things like that. You have to have some means whereby then he can make himself known to the people. And Christ is then the great revealer of this great mystery of Almighty God. And to see him and understand that he is God manifest in flesh, and he's not a second God of the Trinity. See, like the scripture distinctly says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Those are qualifications of the same thing the Hebrews understood of the Membra, which is a projection of God, of an understanding of God, where they could kind of bring him into their own realm of discussion all. Well, John does that in the Greek. And the Word, and then he said, in the beginning was the Word, and a word is a thought expressed. But remember, in the Greek, it means the literacy of the thing it is there that's expressed. You just can't say, like you and I say, fork. Well, we conjure up and understand, well, that's a four-tined or sometimes a five-tined instrument. You eat lettuce with and things with and stab into food and so on, and used to hold down various things, pitch grain with it, like straw and hay and stuff like that, grass. The thing is, when you express that word, you know there's a substance in your expression so that you could go and pick that thing up out of a store. And you know what you're doing. And because the actual, there's a reality in it. So therefore, when you speak of a word, you say fly, there's a fly. You say horse, there's a horse. Now, thingamajig, what's thingamajig? Your mind's gone. What is something a Rube Goldberg designed in a cartoon? Is something Henry Ford came up with, or Edison? Or someone like the great Tesla? They still haven't figured out what he could do. You don't know. So when you say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, you are telling right there that it wasn't Jesus being a third person of the Godhead making him the Word. It was God himself who took upon himself a form of man. Not a second person, not a third person. First person, one person. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So therefore, we find, what is it all about? God starting way back in the beginning with a little beam of light. Because God is light. Starts with the thought that God is light. God is revelation. God is revelatory. Able to be apprehended by the human mind. That mind made such. And the mind and the spirit go together. Your brain is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your mind and your spirit. That's an intrinsic factor that is not in the realm of the test tube. Not has to do with life. See, The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You've got to come by way of the mind. You don't lay this Bible on your head even to do that. You don't lay it in your heart. It won't come that way. It's got to come by mind, mental faculties.
Amen.
See, if there are no mental faculties, that's why the Bible said when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you have a sound mind. First time in your life, you're not insane. Or drunk with the things of the world. So, all right, God made a revelation in human flesh. He became manifested. Something workable. And in there, the thought is expressed, and not just a thought expressed, but the reality itself. See? That's what you're looking at. All right, now God, Christ is the manifestation of God. He is the revealer of God. Christ is the mystery of God revealed or made known. Now that's the first great thing. Now the next great thing is this. God always chose to reveal himself perfectly through man and to men. Way back there, at the time of Abraham, before the burning of Sodom, God appeared in the form of one man out of three. Now many say, see, there you are. That shows that God is three persons. Hogwash. Bible says the two messengers, angels, went down to Sodom, and Abraham conversed with God. Does it mean two parts of God left him? The Jews said, you can't carve God into the three pieces and feed him us Jews. And you know, the funny thing in the world is, though, I've only met one Jew that really stayed with understanding of one God when he turned Christian. Christianity is a bunch of hogwash. If you're not understanding and not knowing the truth. It's idolatry. It's not sensible. How could you preach three gods and feed it to a Jew if the Jew was truly converted and had the real spirit of God? And you know, so you say, what is this oneness of the God? What is this bit anyway? Oh, you're just not up on your history. Old Service got burned to the stake for believing in one God. He wrote a great treatise on it. I got it home. True faith has been around, but there's very little of it.
Amen.
But at the end time, revelation comes. We'll hit that a little later on. Under the seventh seal. That starts right in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, it sure does. Now, the next thing we see that Brother Brandon taught, we got into last night, and it took a long time. We're taking time this morning because I'm not going to rush anything. I found out it's much easier to just take it easy and forget about the rush and forget about covering sermons and ha. Man alive. I guess it's all right. I eat my food terribly fast. I eat like a dog. I eat fast, a lot, and in big gulps. And then I sort of enjoy it with my stomach. I got a stomach taste. And sometimes a bad stomach taste, you know. Eat too many onions, it comes back on you. But fortunately, I got a pretty good digestion. But you know, that's not the way to savor food and to stand on diet and not get fat and sloppy and what have you. It's to savor your food. Like in Betty Ford's clinic, in these other clinics, you take a fork full of food and you put your fork down. And hope that took good. I don't really chew like that. But you're supposed to chew it. Masticate thoroughly. And you swallow, pick up your fork, and do it again. And if you're on a mono diet, all the better than a complex diet, because so many things are not synergistic to your body. See, but, you know, we have one food, which is the Word. The Holy Spirit in us makes us fully synergistic because we are seed. We'll talk about that too. And so here we dine on the Word of God. So we're not in a hurry. We just want to take it real easy. And if this sermon takes me 20, 25, at an hour and a half, whatever time we take, it's going to be that way. So we just take it real easy. All right. He said after, Brother Brandon takes the next step then, after God manifested in Christ, that's Christ the Anointed One, Messiah. Never forget that Messiah in the Hebrew is Christos in the Greek, which is one and the same. See? Never forget that. And never forget what that Messiah is according to Isaiah 9 and 6. The Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, Prince of Peace. He's the Son. He's the Counselor. God Almighty in various roles according to His innate attributes, being God, manifesting to the people, welcoming, blessing, blending with them through these attributes, which we can call offices, roles, or better way to put it, his role, in redemption, bringing us all the way back to him in a glorified form of a human body, wherein we once died with him, just as a thought in his mind, a precept, yep, a foreknowledge, an election, a predestination, an ultimate of destination. See, I hope you caught that. It's on tape. I'm not doing double talk. Taking it very slow. Now, there is a manifestation which is further, which is God in his bride. And that manifestation is not the same as God dealing in Jesus the Christ. And I've got to go way back to my thought that I started with way back there, talking about prophets. God in the prophets, starting with Moses. The book of Hebrews categorically says God was in the prophets at different times for different reasons, giving them a portion of the word for different times, for different seasons, which word must be fulfilled in its season. To bring us right back to where we're going. God poured that all into Christ being the fulfillment. Now, he is pouring into a bride what was accomplished at that time that God might be manifested in us. And remember, the manifestations we showed you last night are two different manifestations. What he manifested in Christ was a supernatural great ministry, though it did not include creation. It included something greater than creation, which was a resurrection from a man that was already rotted and stinking and his face falling in already in that heat there in over there in Jerusalem. That was Lazarus. All right. So we see the prophet ministry of vindication, like Moses vindicated, that he was that one typing Messiah. Then we see all word prophets are vindicated typing that Messiah. Now, remember, if you have a prophet that follows the Lord Jesus Christ, then he must be vindicated to prove that he is pointing back to that one. That's Paul. Now, I know people can say what they want, but I got my Bible right here. I got no problem with my Bible. I'm sorry for those that have problems. You see, they won't let their thinking go. But you should let your thinking go. What did Paul say here? He said, brethren, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power, spirit, and the power. He lets them know that he was thoroughly vindicated to God. In fact, I can read much in the book of Corinthians. And Corinthians is the tongues-talking book. They're the gift people. In the highest disorder of any New Testament people, they had the greatest disorder. They were the ones speaking in tongues and manifesting, and it was terrible. Not that the gifts weren't of God. Don't ever think they weren't. But the people were very, very something or other. Because Paul really had the light on them. And he has to tell them, look, you with all your talk, if you really got the Holy Ghost, and if you think you're a prophet, you will admit that what I am telling you are the commandments and the righteous ordinances of God, not what you think you got because you got some of the ministries. So therefore, the bride does not have a manifestation of proof vindicating her. She has a manifestation of life of redemption, which is fruit and virtues and a crucified life that she lives. Not saying the gifts are not extant. The gifts will always be extant until the bride is taken out of here. But you do not need signs and wonders for a proven thing. And the signs and wonders previously to draw your attention has proven the thing. Like I say, the Pythagorean theorem. Do I have to use that figured out every single time about the squares? Oh, I say, hey, that's the Pythagorean theorem. I'll apply that to my mathematics, to my geometry, my laws of physics. I got no problem. I know instantly what to do. I got my logarithm book. Do I have to go figure out the logs? I turn to my book or use a slide ruler. And what would the church need to continuously prove God?
Yeah, right,
amen. She will never manifest the way that the prophet does. She'll manifest. No, because the life is necessary for other purposes and manifestation. Like I said, Jesus did not create. There was no need to create. But there was need to show a resurrection, which resurrection of Lazarus was sufficient to prove that Christ himself would come back. He didn't even corrupt. You see, but no way do you ever get the proof in your mind and heart and revelation until after the fact. See?
Now, the bride has a manifestation of a life. And in this hour, with the opening of the seals, if the seals were open, there had better be a manifestation that God's behind it, or someone's shooting his mouth off. And the manifestation had better be according to God's word, and the man is not God's man, and he better be a prophet, because God alone reveals secrets to prophets alone. We read that last night, Amos chapter 3 and 7. Way back here past Daniel, Joel, Amos. Okay, here we are. 3 and 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. And there's a secret rapture supposed to take place. There's a secret coming supposed to take place. And the Bible distinctly says that God will reveal his secrets to a prophet. And the prophet will tell you so you'll know the hour in which that is. And they guessed for hundreds of years. They waited 7 church ages. They couldn't understand it. What is this secret? What is this rapture bit? What is this appearing bit? What is this manifesting a bit? What is this perusia bit? What is all these bits together? Oh, I've read the books. You bet I have. When I was first saved, listen, I tell you, I did nothing but frequent the second-hand bookstores and all the Bible stores. And we had the good volumes when I was a kid. You don't have worth a plug nickel anymore, just to be honest with you. You got a lot of highfalutin, rootin', tootin' hogwash. That's all you got. A bunch of high-rolling so-called theologians. They couldn't hold a candle, those old-timers. And don't you think they ever can today. They can't do it. They haven't got the language. They haven't got it, period. They're talking off the top of their heads. Those men back in the days of the faith came from the heart, an inspired soul, an inspired spirit, an inspired mind. Oh, they could preach and teach you. Nobody will touch those men. I've read the books, you bet. Every time, and I had a lot of time, there was depression days. Everything was depressed, but our mentality was depressed too. I'm sorry to say, because we worried. Read, 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 read. No man had a clue. Even then, they forgot the ways of God, how God deals with the people, how God reveals his secrets, how God does things. So you say, there's a prophet got to come at the end time, Elijah. Oh, who needs Elijah? Hallelujah, we've got Jesus. He's up there at the right hand of the majesty. Glory to God. Why, one of the very Godhead himself, one of the three persons, came right down and undid all the stuff. And they hate to admit it. But Father made a tragic mistake, evidently, when he made Satan and made mankind. Because he said, now who will go for me? I made a mess here. I've got to get things cleaned up. Can you imagine God being that ridiculous? I can't.
Amen.
I can be that ridiculous, and you can, but God can't. They don't understand God wanting to show forth his attributes and his innermost being.
Yeah.
Did this to us and yet for us, that we might receive all of him that he had, that he wanted to give and share. And it couldn't be any other way. So God said, I'll redeem the people myself. And he came down in human form, his own life, his own sperm, so to speak. He rented a body of Mary and brought forth a virgin born body. That was his own, calling it was a son because it was a part of him. Now a son is not a father. How can you have eternal sons? They've got beginnings. That's a Catholic dogma. That's not the dogma of God. It's a creed. That's a kingdom. That's not the word. And he indwelt that one. And because the life was the life of God, it was the blood of God that was shed upon Calvary. And God became his own mediator and his own redeemer and his own reconciler in human form. God can do these things. But men would sooner twist it and conform it to this way and that way and have three gods and polluted ideas. Oh, my God, you've got a pest house.
Yes, amen.
Remember the pure thoughts of God. Got a terrible distortion. All right, now God takes, he wants a bride to manifest himself. Just based upon this end time understanding we're talking about now. Brother, because Brother Brandon took it the end time. What he did back there in the prophets. What he did back in the time of Jesus. He would have to do now as Paul the Apostle looked back. And was that authenticated person? So if Elijah is to come on the scene, stop talking about how you don't need Elijah, but you just love Jesus. See? Or you'll be like Israel. They both crucified Messiah and killed John. And yet the Bible spoke of a forerunner. And a vindicated one. And they killed them both. And they have crucified themselves the Son of God afresh in this hour. Hebrews 6. You can't get away from the Word of God, brother, sister. So if Elijah's supposed to come, we're going to have a prophet at the end time. As the Scripture tells us. That's only in the mold of God's way of doing things. What's so strange? But these savants, these theologians, none of them, from the face of a man to this hour, which is continually the face of the man till you get to the eagle. Four faces, lion, calf, man, eagle, till you get the end time. They don't understand about prophets. They say there's no prophets. Yet the Bible distinctly says in Hebrews 12, from the mouth of a prophet that pointed back to the prophet, God himself in human flesh, and said, once more, the one from heaven is going to speak. Then who's going to hear him? The church can't hear him.
Amen.
No way. No way. I don't care what anybody says. You're liars. And trying to make God a liar. God's got to have a prophet. And he has to be manifested to be a prophet. Deuteronomy 18. God said, they're well spoken. I'll never appear to the church again. I'll never appear to a body again. I'll come through a man. I'll come through a prophet. And that prophet will come in the name of the Lord. And when the thing that he says come to pass, thus saith the Lord, that comes to pass. You listen to him. You fear him. That's right. A vindicated prophet. See? Now, all right. We see that. So there's a bride at the end time that understands a little bit of what we're talking about. Okay, we're going to start reading here because it can't keep on forever. Now he said here, having the revelation of this secret made known to them by grace. The revelation of what? Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Christ will reveal God. There's going to... Now look at... Let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now, if you can stand to get a little bit deep in here, and even your Trinitarians understand this, and it's not deep really. Look at Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith... Now remember, we're given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So evidently, there's evidently a gift involved here. At a certain time, and it's going to be a measure that is given by God. So everything is given in measures. And that's what it says in Hebrews. At different times and different measures, different places, God was in the prophets giving forth revelation. Which, if there were prophets before Christ, pointed to him, and if there's prophets after Christ, they got to point back. And that's logical. Anybody knows that. Can't help but know that. Now watch. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now this same one, in the measure of the gift of Christ, the anointing, by grace, you're going to have men have something to do with it. Can't help it. Now he that ascended, what is it? First of all, he descended the lower parts of the earth. Now listen, let's read it. Now he that ascended went up. What is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts. That wasn't the body. The body didn't go to the lower parts of the earth. The body was on top of the ground in a cave.
Yeah.
So the body didn't go up. Don't worry about that. We're talking about what went down the lower parts. Now he that ascended took his body with him. What is it? But he was first of all down in the lower parts of the earth. Now watch. He that descended, that came down back again, is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. He came back. How? In the form of the Holy Ghost. Even the Trinitarians know that. Now they got rid of one God called the Holy Ghost. Now they got two left. Now how come Vincent couldn't put it together? And I'm quoting from Vincent, one of the greatest Greek authorities known. Now, he gave what? In this measure, he gave what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, fivefold ministry. The election. Two are voted in, deacons and elders, to make perfection. Now, what's going to happen? All right, watch. How did this happen to begin with? The pillar of fire at Pentecost inducted men into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but did not give them the revelation. He appeared to Paul alone and gave him the revelation. That's right. Even John didn't have face-to-face like Paul did. Paul was down in the desert with him for about 3 years or so. Now, what are these men for under Paul, who said, if you're a prophet, sub-prophet, to the prophet of the hour, word prophet, you're a pastor, evangelist, you're a missionary, you're this or that, you'll admit that what I'm telling you is the commandment of God. Now watch. For the perfecting of the saints, to bring to a complete conclusion the bride, for the work of the ministry, there's got to be ministry there, both for them and in them, for the edifying or the building of the body of Christ, what? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. What's going to be dispensed all through the ages? The knowledge. Until it comes to a peak of perfection. And in this hour, there's nothing but Babylon, because there's hundreds of denominations and independents and God knows what, and they all speak with a different tongue. A forked tongue at that. That's human being. Under perfect man, under the stature, a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So I think we got him all. You did not get him all. The church only gets all of Christ at the last seventh church age when the last measure is poured in. Because there's a measure of knowledge and a revelation hidden that John and Paul could not teach. And has to come to us at the opening of the seals. Dr. Bloomfield knew that. He's a good student. I think he's dead by now. Dr. Hoyer understood the principle. And I think he's the greatest since Dr. Penn. And I'm not just throwing these names around to impress you. I happen to know what I'm talking about. Because I know Dr. Hoyer. I wish he wasn't good enough. If he's still living, he might have just passed away recently because he's an elderly man. But I'd love to be in his presence and talking about some of these things, because he's the man that told me. He said, Brother Vail, don't laugh. But he said, I can tell you by Scripture, and I believe. Be right. He said, the creative power of God will appear in the bride of the last day. And I said, I'll never laugh at you, because I know that's happened already. And the great Moody Bible Institute down the road, knowing nothing what's going on because they're looking back at Moody. What Dwight L. Moody to you and me? For heaven's sake, give me an answer. What's Spurgeon to you? What's Parker? Harding? The Murrays, the Pattersons? Even a little not too far back, you had your Hudson Taylors. Even more close, your Jonathan Goforth. America, Jonathan, what's that got to do with you? Tell me. Nothing. Don't get in by them. They're waiting on you to get out of the ground. That hour's here. But the word is not, and the word is here for it, but we're just waiting. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, what is the ministry supposed to do? To bring you to a place of the absolute knowledge. That's what it says. Billy Graham admits the word hasn't been restored. What's Billy doing today? He admits he's like a dry well. He's all pumped out. The only thing that set Billy Graham on fire is to understand what we're saying. We're not above Billy Graham. Don't think there's any preeminence to us. We're quoting a prophet. I'm not telling you what Lee Dale thinks. I'm telling you what the prophet said. Look what it says about these people in religion, religious circles. Their doctrine is wind. Blows every old which way, like right in this country here. I never saw a place like this. Living over here in DeGraff. Southwest wind, suddenly northeast wind. East wind, north wind, south wind. Whom, whom, whom. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This state's a dump. This valley here. I don't know a place like a peak that blows in the west in Canada. You know the wind's coming west. Shoom, shoom. Prevails here, too. Everything prevails westly. But there we go. We could tell in Canada where I live where what was going to happen with the winds. Here, you know, the only thing's going to happen, something's going to happen. You better pray it's not going to hit you. Yeah, tornado. Now listen, wind the doctrine, sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Oh, that lovely preacher wouldn't do it. You got to be stupid. It says here he would do it. Right. You don't know about I'm doing it. Brother Brown's crafty, cunning man. I'm crafty and cunning too. I got you duped. the Bible says so. He said, why? He said, don't think it strange that these men come on the scene, because if Satan himself was transformed into an angel of light to deceive Eve, he said, then his messenger also will come as angels of light. Oh, love and sweet and graciousness and niceness to seduce you. Listen, get this flat for them. What is a thousand times I'm telling you? Eve was not raped. She was seduced. She was happy to join in the act. And if you look at women today, you'll understand categorically. Women do not like to be raped, and very seldom are. But they don't mind being seduced. Oh, come on. How do they get seduced? They don't like it. I'm not being rough on marriage. I'm just trying to bring out the truth about the churches, because the woman represents the church. She'd claw the guy and everything else. But she gets persuaded happily to join in the act. Seduction.
Right.
And you blame some fella because you're like a messed up hogwash. He was meant to take the act. You're stupid. But he should contain himself, too. Christ doesn't go around impregnating everybody. Only bride. That's why marriage is... That's why sex is confined to marriage. And you know a man gets in sexually involved with a woman before he marries her? If she turns into a prostitute and brings men under his roof, he can't get rid of her. According to the Word of God, he's stuck with her. That's why in this church you don't have second chances around here once you're taught right. You marry right or forget it. I'm not interested. You do it. You make your bed. I love you and try to help you, but you did it.
Right.
She said, why? What do you mean? I've always listened. My mother didn't make me do things. My sister didn't. My father, my brothers, my relatives, my kinfolk, my peers. I did what I did. Are we coming across? I hope so. I don't know. Who knows? But holding the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. What is it? This measure of grace through ministry is given to bring the people right up to a headship to complete the whole body, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. In other words, you're to come to the very one who poured into you and is now pouring in through seven church ages and is culminating this portion. You come right up to that. Well, we'll show you what really happened. The church is a pyramid. That's not what I had in mind, but, you know, now I'm not a good artist here. And there's nobody here to help me because, you know, can't even draw a straight line. But who can? On a wiggly board. Okay? Whoopsie. That's not very good. Okay. Here, like, is Christ, we'll say. Holy Spirit. Now, he's pouring into the church. The anointing, which has a conduit at all times, which is the Word. It doesn't just pour his face. You know, nature doesn't do that. We're talking to life. Life's not here sizzling around here. People got a Frankenstein theory, you know. Turn on the juice. Get the parts and turn on the juice. Hogwash. Life produces its parts. It's got to have a conduit. It's Word. So here's God. Here's through the Word. Very poor looking Bible. That's the Bible. Here's God. Holy Spirit coming through the Word, coming down to you and me. Seven church ages starting down here. Now, he's pouring into the church. He didn't just pour out. You understand that? So he poured his Holy Spirit, blank, blank. Oh, come on! How am I going to get this across? I could get it across, but it'd be almost vulgar. Because I'd have to tell him my vulgar thoughts are, and they're not vulgar, it's the truth. A male ejaculate has to have an egg to bear what's in that life. So the male ejaculate, like a salmon's, hoping there's some eggs out there. Because we're talking of life. So there's got to be a conduit.
Yes.
So there's got to be that Word as a conduit. And we're talking of this life of God in a bride, seven church ages. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 up to the top. So there's life coming down. Word coming down. That word life released in seven church ages, going up, until there's nothing left to come down. So now, the baptism with the Holy Ghost gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. So you got. So you got the head of the church. And when you got that, you have got to have a prophet. Because now the cornerstone that had the prophet, Paul, is headstone. And the Bible unequivocally says, Elijah. See? Okay. Seven church ages, you got the light coming down. This mystery is Christ revealed in every age. Now, in the first age, he was a lion for some time, and there Paul came forth. Then came the suffering, the calf, that went right up into and past the era of the Dark Ages of Catholicism. Out of that comes the light of Protestantism, which is the face of the man, which is Reformation. Now, the point is, everything that was here is here. But it here was not all revealed. And before it could be revealed, coming up here, these men came in who could do this. Sleight of men, wind of doctrine, cunning craftiness, lying in wait to deceive. The first council of Jerusalem had brethren, false brethren, that came in unaware and turned even Peter aside for a while. So don't think you're sitting high and mighty. You've got something to talk about. And death had entered the church. And Paul said the Ephesian age was a fallen woman. She was fallen. And she fell on the ground like Christ to die. And she kept going down. As she went up. As she went up, she went down. And in here, in this little speck of light, don't you let that oil go. Don't let that wine go. The bruised reed, he wouldn't break. The smoking flax, he wouldn't quench. So he began pouring again his word of revelation and knowledge under the face of a man. And it came up here in headship. He had to have a prophet again. If we're at this end time. See? So here we are living at this point. God poured into the church. And as he's pouring into the church, he's bringing members in. The last elected one is coming into the Gentiles. Now let's go, let's take a look at the book of Romans and see that. Romans 11, 25. I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I would not that you be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits. Now listen, you don't get any preeminence and smartness at the end of the age because there's a prophet on the scene and you've got a revelation. In your own conceits, being blind in your own wisdom. Watch it at the end time. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles came. Now that's not the times of the Gentiles, that's the fullness of the Gentiles. The times is political, this is spiritual, this is the body. Israel is blind until we are complete. How did Israel get to Messiah? By sections, coming up, coming up, coming up. How do we get there? Coming up, coming up, coming up. Yes. Christ pouring in. When there's no more left to pour in, what do you come to? You come to Matthew 12. And the Gentiles don't understand this. The theologian won't understand. Nobody but us will understand it because we have a prophet who told us to us. Here you are here. Verse 17, Matthew 12, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He came back as the Holy Spirit. Dealt with the Gentiles. Let's keep reading. He shall not strive nor cry, neither any man hear his voice in the streets. Jesus didn't do that in the flesh, he was heard. A bruised reed shall he not break, smoking flax he will not quench. Now listen, hold it. Israel smoking flax and broke and bruised reed he broke and snuffed out. So this does not come at this time down here. No. It's got to come up here. Let's keep reading. Till he sent for judgment unto victory. He brings justice and a just cause to victory. He is going to do it for us. And he's going to have Elijah here because he said so. Like John was at that particular time in his history. See, coming up, 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 up. And see, Alpha is Omega. John was Elijah. Number 3. Now you got Elijah number 4. Next time Elijah number 5 to the Jews. 5 is grace, the whole thing's gone. So at this time, here's what you see you're dealing with. Alright. Now then, we talk about this manifestation in the bride at the end time, and why I'm dealing with this, Am, is to let you know, as we read along, and we have read along, that there was a manifestation given to the bride by a prophet, William Branham, who had thus said the Lord, thousands of times, and never one time was it ever wrong. And I'm witness because I worked with him. I knew him like there's hardly a man living knows him. Studied with him, wrote his books, everything else. So I'm an authority on the subject if anybody is. And I can tell you absolutely, I've seen the greatest men of the 20th century, and I've read of the greatest men that ever lived. And no man had what this man had. And even the religious scholars and religious authors admitted until recently they could never lay a finger on it. But he's dead 20 years now, so they'll do anything they want. Yeah. Dig up his bone, do what you want. Doesn't matter anything because God had his way. It's already come and gone. And that's what happened in Jesus' time. He said, it'll come and go, you won't know it. And he says in the Bible, it'll come and go and you won't know it. And it's being done right today. As I've showed you, you learn after the fact. God has to explain himself to the man he's dealing with, take that man to the people, demonstrate to the people that God is with that man, then that man's got to show it continuously and explain it, or the people don't get it.
Yeah.
And then some theologian tried to sit around and figure this thing out with a bunch of people. Somebody's insane. It's not us. We're not claiming any superpowers. Let's get this back. We wouldn't even know anything we're even talking about except for the grace of Almighty God because it's all grace. But you see, you and I have got to build our faith through rapturing faith, brother, sister. Not simple healings and those things, though God knows we need them and God knows we'll have them. Don't worry. And if we set our mind to it, we can get them. There's no problem there. I gave it up years ago because my mind's not to be set in that direction. I'd sooner suffer, even be sick, than to give up what I got. Because look, if I labored for the bread that perishes, I could go to God in disobedience and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to go back where I was, whether you like it or not. That's a pretty dangerous thing to say. It's been done. Don't worry. It's been done. But you pay a price for it. I'm sorry for the people. I've got to get my faith again where I say, look, you let your faith go. Pretend you're not here. I'll take over. You don't even exist in my mind. I'll take over. You watch what happened to you. Forget it. I'm dealing in higher stakes than that. I've done that already. I've done that already. If you want to question me, I'll bring in my friends, I'll show you. You'll pay for the airplane tickets, though, but I'll take you there. A little holiday, come. I enjoy a holiday. Anybody want to take me up? Got a few $1,000 you. I'll make some phone calls, I'll prove to you. Not kidding you. Cancer disappeared, literally under doctor's hands. I said so. I'm not lying to you. My wife likes to toot my horn. I say, shut up, I don't talk about the past. I don't understand. If I want, I can make phone calls. They're living. You bet. I didn't heal a soul, though. Didn't heal a body or anything else. Not me. That's God. But you can get ministries. But we got higher stakes. Those higher stakes are over there in Ephesians. You won't find this in any book of theology. I can tell you that right now. They just think this is the Alpha. This is the Omega. He says here in Ephesians 1 and it's 17. Paul prayed for the revelation. He prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And then it ends in a resurrection and a rapture. That's here.
Not here. The same person doing the same thing to his prophet and his ministers going to bring you here.
Let's find out. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Don't worry, we'll get out of here sometime today. We'll finish this sermon in 30 sermons. Who cares? What does Paul say? 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. What's an open face? No more veils on it. No more creeds and dogmas. Your mind's not full of the old things you used to know about rapture and appearing and this and that and the other thing. You understand for the first time what it's all about. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if you're going to be changed into an image, what image are you going to? When we behold Him, see Him as He is. We're getting right up there. And there's got to be a spiritual image before there's a physical, brother, sister, because you weren't flesh unless you, first of all, were spirit. Because that Father, sperm in yours is life, and life is always a spirit. That's where you got your genetic coding from. That's what determined the color of your hair, everything else. That's what determined your spirituality, whether you'd be born again or not. That's right. It's in the spirit. It's in the life. How would you think? You might be studying too much botany and physiology from your high school teachers, your university professors. I'm going to tell you one thing. They're wrong. 99% are wrong. But you sit them down and let them think a while, they can turn right in a hurry. Because they know the animal has the same elements out of the clay that you and I have, but we're not four-footed beasts. What made it? Oh, they say that's because it's in the genes there. That's because, I said, hold it. Hold it. There's species. Right? There's species. What's a species? What gave it? It's a special kind of life. A species is specific, isn't it, when it comes right down to it? Not just a kind, specific. So a specific kind. You got a cat, you got a horse, you got a dog, you got a pig, you got a man. They all run genetically. They all run species. They all run because of a life. Then what does it? It's the life does it. That's right. Because it's got the same thing to work from. Let the earth bring forth the beast. Where did man come? Same dirt. What's behind it all? Life. See? Begin to apply that to Christ like we're doing here. Now, the image. We're coming up now to the very top. Now watch. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What ministry? To give people unveiled faces to move from glory to glory. The first age, the second age, the third age, the fourth age, the fifth age, the sixth age, the seventh age. Right to the top. But Brother Branham said, what a glory Luther had beyond Catholicism. What a glory Wesley had beyond Luther. What a glory Pentecost had beyond Wesley. But what a glory this will be, a glory that never fades. Ezekiel's river that floats you across. The former rain in the time of the latter rain. God and Elijah, Malachi 4. Headship returned. All of it there. And it's a ministry. What kind of ministry? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. Right back to Ephesians. No more swaying and subtlety. No more bulldozing. You're right. This didn't happen in Paul's day. This is our day. This is a prophetic word in a whole that was here, as the prophetic word was here to bring forth Christ. Now you got the prophetic word that's going to be up here when you see Him manifested. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it hath not yet appeared we shall be. You're never going to say it, but we know that when He shall appear, means manifest Himself in His true character, we're going to be like Him. And He comes back in the Spirit to the Gentiles to bring us this victory. Not in His body. We meet the body in the air. My God, people don't even know the top of the ladder and the bottom of the ladder.
Fundamentalism says, oh, hallelujah. We're going to meet him in the air. Say, how? Well, we're going to get changed, Brother Vail. I said, now, just a minute. You've got to see him to get your change. So he better be down here where you can see him instead of up there. Right? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I got you over the barrel, haven't I? You read your Bible all these years wrong, wrong, wrong. You read it all wrong. And you'll go keep reading it wrong if something happens to you. We've got to see him as he is. As he is. What is he in this hour?
Amen.
What's he doing in this hour? So it never entered my mind. Well, we better start thinking. I'm not smart. I'm just telling you what the prophet told me. It's right here. You're not smart. I'm not smart. Nobody's smart. God's smart. I'm not vindicated. You're not vindicated. We could even miss it. But we'd be right. He said, this is the ministry. Not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves. You show that you've got the truth. I can't show anything. I can show you. I'm an ignorant, stupid, self-righteous, miserable, stuffed shirt of a dope. With no good in me. Same as you. You got nothing. But you got everything. Remember, once the thing is proved, you don't have to prove it again. Now, why are you trying to prove anything? Why didn't you just listen and believe what's been proven? You say, I don't think Brother Branham proved a thing. Neither did Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm with Woody Allen. What do you think of Jesus? He was an underachiever. Well, God's an underachiever. Reader's Digest, full of civility. Things in this universe are out of order. Certainly, why doesn't that moth come and eat the leaves in October when they fall? Instead of the summertime when they're on the trees. What do you call it, the gypsy moth? They call them moth, gypsy moth? I thought it was quite cute. Ilka Chase said this. She said, not that I want to criticize God, but he could have made a mistake maybe. Everybody's cuddly little babies. But they haven't got much time for these old worn out folk. It caused them much trouble. Why didn't God just reverse it? Make us old to start with and make us cuddly, sweet little babies. Everybody loved us. Smart gal. Pretty stupid, but smart. I'm not being facetious now. I'm just telling you what man's mind is. You can't operate like God's mind. It takes a ministry to bring this, my brother, my sister. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and have never yet appeared or come to this, we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We'll see him as he is. Now, you see, they leave out that last part to see him as he is. They said, at the time of the appearing, which is true, we get our change. But they leave out the part to see him as he is. And they just go booey. Because in their mind, it's got to be the glorified body, which it is not.
Yeah.
You got to get changed, then you get caught up. So he's got to appear beforehand. So the rapture, then, is not the appearing, honey. Fundamentalism is all wrong. The appearing is the appearing right down here. How's he going to appear? Well, he's not known in the streets. He doesn't raise his voice. How does he do it? How did he do it to Moses? That's your Exodus.
Yeah, amen.
He appeared in signs and wonders and manifested himself in a pillar of fire, but he won't do that to the people anymore. Then what's he done? He's got a prophet. Now, that's a scientific picture you can't see behind the blackboard. Author George J. Lacey authenticated that's the only scientific picture known in the world of a supernatural being.
Yeah.
Say, Brother Dale, I think you're a little wrong in that. No, I'm not at all wrong. I'm perfectly right. And he's a prophet like Moses because he said, thus saith the Lord, it came to pass. That's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. The Bible said that he's got to come to the Gentiles. Headship's got to come down, not physical, spiritual. And he's going to have a prophet. I believe that. There it is right there. So that's a manifestation in the bride and to the bride, while the bride manifests a life of virtue and continence and continuity. But above all, as I showed you the other night, it lies in the faith in that word. See? What did John the Baptist do? Let me show you again. John the Baptist. Let's go to Luke. Book of Luke. First chapter.
Oh, that's a beautiful story, isn't it, about John, you know, being born and all those good things in there. That's a tremendous book, the book of Luke. 17 verse about is what I'm going to do here. Now it says, concerning John the Baptist, verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him, that's the Lord God of Israel, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even, that word anti can be a conjunction or preposition, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Now that word disobedience means ignorance. It doesn't mean a willful acknowledgement of a command and refuse to do it. But they're ignorant. What is he for? What's this man for? To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make the elect cognizant, aware of, and get them thereby ready for him. That's exactly what happened with the prophet William Branham. 3,000 people saw that whirling rainbow come down over his head. June 11, 1933. Baptized in the Ohio River. And what came to him, like it came to Moses, the voice said to him, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming of Christ, so your ministry will forerun the second coming. Perfectly right. And his ministry would be the ministry of Christ just because God's in the prophets. The same one that came down here, that worked up to here from Israel. No difference. Elijah, Jehovah the Old, is Jesus of the New. One God, there's no problem right there. Now listen to what it says here. He's going to get them ready. Now notice, to get ready a prepared people. Who are the prepared people? Well, I'm glad I asked that question so I'll be able to discuss it with you. Let's see if I can find it. Sure I can find it. It's over here in chapter 9. Now, verse 23, Romans 9, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. The elect always need preparation. You're not a hard shell here, brother, sister. Well, we've got a hope. Were you born again? Oh, don't talk that to me. We don't know anybody born again. We just know election. And at that day, we'll know. They believe salvation apart from a means and apart from experience. Ridiculous. We're not hard shells, but we sure are pretty extreme grace-minded security believers. If you stick around here, you're going to be. That's all you can do. So you see what John did. So, at the end time, Brother Branham's message here, as we're reading, is pointing out to you the manifestation of Christ in human flesh, which is the bride, through a bride member. Wasn't Isaiah a member of Israel? Wasn't Moses a member of Israel? Wasn't Moses the great prophet that did it all for the nation? Yes, yes, and yes. And when Isaiah came on the scene, David on the scene, weren't they members? Yes. Did they hold a great conclave and bring all the males and say, now all you males are here, hallelujah, let the congregation arise, let them begin to prophesy, let the word come through the people. Hogwash. They pulled that on Moses. Three men, the Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Those three men could prophesy. And they stood out there and said, hey, what's this about Moses being the only spokesman? What about him? Those old God who only uses one man. We can prophesy. Come on. What's with this anyway? And you know Moses, that weak, lovely man that one time said, hey, Lord, if you kill him, kill me too. He froze. And he knew that if they were right, he was wrong. And the whole thing was simply some mishmash of God knows what kind of stupidity in spite of everything that vindicated the whole program and God himself. And he said, if they are right, they'll die the death common to men. A prophet. Now listen. Oh, Moses, he didn't show love. Now, if I'd have been there, I'd have showed great love. I'd even gone to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, bless your old heart. You don't mean to be this way. Let me tell you about our Messiah. Let us bring you into Israel. you endowed the word of God. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart till I get him out of the way, Moses. Moses stood there to harden Pharaoh's heart. That was love, brother, sister, whether you believe it or not. Because love is not some milk-sop, wishy-gooey junk that you throw in the face of Almighty God while you flaunt the devil's word in God's face and deny a prophet and deny those things. Love is when you stand with that word and you come to the place, well, I stuck my neck out. This is what I believe. Moses said they better die a common death common to men if I'm wrong on this stand here. And I'm going to tell you, they died an uncommon death, brother, sister. Their families got the brunt of it also, and those who stood with them. And whenever God sends a prophet, God always sends judgment on the world, but he brings victory to the elect because he makes them ready. And people don't want to admit that there's got to be a prophet at the end time when there has got to be a prophet. You can't change it. So manifesting in this last day, as Brother Branham said, if a man comes on the scene with a true healing revival, a true ministry from Almighty God, there's got to be a change in the message, because God doesn't bring your attention to himself and an order just to give you the same old tired substance which you already know. We teach an understanding of the rapture based on Brother Branham as no group in the world has ever conceived or will conceive, because they can't do it.
Amen.
They don't understand. And they're not going to understand, because they're not vessels prepared for it. You say, well, do you believe you are? On this ground, yes, I do believe. Let me read again from 2 Thessalonians, that you might know the truth, brother, sister. Who is going to worship the devil and how they worship the devil? Let's get this plan. And it says here, verse 9, even him who's coming is after thee, his presence is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, first of all, an angel of light, a deceiver, and he's got the power to back it.
Right.
Judas was the devil incarnate. He raised the dead and healed the sick by the power of God. Then God will allow man at this end time to do the same thing. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. What's unrighteousness? Tempting to worship God apart from the Word of God in the framework of the Word, just like Cain did. Because they receive not the love of the truth. There's your great love, brother, sister. If you haven't got that, you can talk all the love you want and show all the love you want. It just simply goes down the drain. It is so much perfume in a cesspool.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Ever worked around cesspools? Just tried doing dosing of the perfume. Years back, we used to have cesspools, and when they got too full because you didn't have the right system, we just pumped them out in the ground. Oh, phooey, for the next few days, like the farmers and their hog stuff on you. Yay, yay, yay. Just try putting in, you might as well put mothballs up your nose. Not going to change it out there. Try it. Go ahead and try it. See? Love of the truth. That they might be saved. How? Saved from Antichrist by what? Truth. And for this cause, what? Turning down the truth, God sends them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. The lie. What is the lie? You'll not die. You're going to live. Millions now living will never die. How can the world say that? How can people call themselves bride of Christ say that? When the Bible says the whole world is going to go to the devil and worship him. Now you got the whole world going to God. Big revival. Don't be ridiculous. Oh, the church. And this guy had a vision. Oh, God. Poor old Tommy Hicks and his vision. Poor this guy, their vision. I wouldn't give you 2 bits for 1,000 visions, brother, sister. For 100,000 visions. Not 2 bits for a carload of them. I'm not interested. Because when you've got God's word, God's way of giving it, what do you want with anything else? You don't prove again what's been proven. You just say, this is it. Man, you give me a suit of clothes. I'll say, hey, I thought you'd give me a suit of clothes. I put it on and say, hey, well, that's great. That's all walk off. Anybody got a suit of clothes you want to give me? I'm not hinting. I've got all the clothes in there. I'm just letting you know. It's what I'm trying to tell you. It's that simple. It's that easy. The old saying, why look a gift horse in the mouth?
why do you have to worry and fuss about this being right? It's been proven. If this is what the Word says, this is what the Word does. It's always been done this way. This is it. What are you worried about? What do you care what somebody else says? What do you care about what you think? You go home, the basin's full of water. What does it matter what you think? How did you get there? What did you do wrong? Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, shut up and get the pumps. You've got a catastrophe. You've got a disaster. You see what I'm trying to say? Don't treat the Word of God any different. That they all might be condemned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The unrighteous work was the work of Cain that made him kill his brother. He turned down God's vindicated way. He took what apparently was a first fruit offering instead of blood. He misdivided the Word. He was wrong. And God would not receive it. And so they said, well, just love him. No! They love this, and they call it God. And God won't take it. See what I'm saying? Now watch. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen from the beginning, or from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Paul has got to repeat. In other words, the same one that gave it has got to be here to reveal it. You follow me. You follow me. That's where the glory comes, your transformation. We all with open faces, no more creeds, no more dogmas, just little kids. Like sponges, ready to take the Word of God, are going to be changed and changed. I was talking to Brother Joe the other day. I've watched you people. You look and you're looking at yourself. You're critical of yourself. And I'm good reason why you're critical, because I slugged you a lot. And I don't mean to. And I'm critical of myself. But I've watched you. And I've seen a change and a change and a change. You're not aware of it. I saw in Brother Branham what no living man saw. I've seen in others. And I'm not saying I got a gift. Don't forget gifts. I'm a teacher. That's the gift I got. Anything else is, you know, it's nice, it's fine. But this is a human structure. I look at people, and I can see something happening. And it's got to be happening for one reason. It's the life that's in the Word being released. See, I'm 72. I saved when I was 18 in Pentecost. Through the power and fire of God, when my sister lay dying, I prophesied and said to mother, Mert will not get better until those two women pray for her. And I never even knew them. And the night that they prayed, my sister was incurable, was healed by the power of God with nothing but a little tack of nerves left. And I prophesied different times. Where did it come from? Like Caiaphas, it would have to be a spirit of God. Not even born again. See? Something is moving these days. I was not with Brother Branham for nothing. Maybe not for him so much as for myself and for you. I hope that's the truth, because what did he need? But he needed someone also. But I want you to see this, brother, sister. This message is what's going to do it, because we're putting on an inner garment. And you can never disassociate the Holy Ghost from the Word, and the Word from the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost wrote this, which is Christ in letter form, a printed form. To deliver to us the reality of this Word in our lives, which is our measure and our portion. But the people have got out of hand. They want to interfere with the man that carries the ball. They want to interfere with the plan of Almighty God and have their own. And God will send them destruction, because it's the only way out, my brother and my sister, is to destroy the plant that God has not planted. Yeah. We're just talking today about our flowers, and they're talking to Joe again. We're talking about the Garden of Eden. And he said, well, somebody said to him he liked to work. And Joe said, well, he said, I'd be a liar if I said I like to work. I don't. Well, he said, how come? Well, he said, because that's wrong. He said, in the Garden of Eden, he said they didn't have to work. Well, I said, Joe, they were pruning the bushes and gathering the flowers. And I'd love that in my garden. I'd love that kind of work. Just picking the flowers. No weeds to pull up. No briars. I took the shovel out the other day. I was going to transplant a couple of things like a primrose because in a daisy for the fall planting for the next spring. And you should have seen the thistles and the dandelions that grew in the latter rain, the rain of the harvest. I said, where'd they come from? I just cleaned these rascals up. Now, shoot, like this, shoot.
Oh, Lord, did I dug furiously. Roots on him. True man. Where did they come from so quick? You know where? This rain of the harvest. The Holy Spirit falling on the just and the unjust, on all flesh, bringing forth the tares, bringing forth the false, the ones that are anointed. The anointing is real, but they're false, because the tares and the wheat grow by the same sun and the same rain. Boys, that didn't come home to me the other day. So I agree with Joe on this. If we get back to the Garden of Eden, it won't be work. It'd be fun picking flowers. I hate work. My wife says I'm not lazy. She doesn't know me. She loves me. That kid is crazy. I like people like that, of course. You know, they cover up for everything else. And I think it's really stupid, but it's nice to have them stupid. Like Albert Brandt said, I love me. He said, I love beautiful girls. He said, beautiful so I can love. No, beautiful and dumb. He said, I love them. So beautiful so I can love them and dumb so they can love me. I think the guy was right. But you know, I'm not a man, a guy that likes to work. I like to think about it. Let somebody else do it. I'd be a master, you know, draftsman. Pharaoh, put these boys to work. You know, tote that bale, you know, lift that straw and that kind of stuff. He's right. Picking flowers, sure. Picking weeds, forget it. But we're going back to that place. And you know, we're entering in now into a rest that makes us know that, look, this is it. See, what Brother Vail, this Seventh-day Adventist thought they had it. We are not going to climb on some mountain to get our feathers wet. We're going to be pounding nails. If we know he's coming tomorrow, we're not going to take the day off. We're going to be pounding nails. We're going to be marrying, setting up homes, raising kids, everything else. We're going to be going day to day. Because this is functional on the hourly basis, the moment by moment. Not some little thing, some big thing or something set out there in the future. It's going on now. Because the shout is the message of the descent. And the voice is the resurrection. And the trumpet is the summoning to the rapture, to the wedding supper. We're already into the message. Into this hour of getting ready. Truth, my brother, my sister, truth. Not what you think. Not gifts. Like those in the McGill Mission in Rochester, New York. The Elijah Ministry. Restoration is hogwash. We've had them for years. Not doing it. Can be phony as a $3 bill. Caiaphas himself. Instrument in crucifying Christ prophesied. Judas, incarnate devil. Healing the sick, casting out devils himself. Not by his own power, but by God's. Don't get led astray, brother, sister. Either histrionics or some display. We've had the display of Almighty God in our midst. We know what we're talking about. Yeah. Been proven, not done in a corner, worldwide known. Yeah. This hour had to come. And as usual, every hour must come, and they don't know. The flood came. They were swept away. The rapture will come. It'll be burnt. John the Baptist came. They knew he was to come. He left. Jesus had to come. He left. All was after the fact. Because God can only be interpreted. And his word interpreted through a manifestation. Then there's got to be someone knows what the manifestation's all about. Let me repeat again. Moses by the burning bush. Samson's parents. In an angel of light. Paul. In the pillar of fire. History and continuity. God's got one way of doing things and he'll keep doing it. And no other way. There has been a manifestation in the bride and to the bride for the whole church if they'd only have taken it. The bride has her manifestation. And if she's part of this, her manifestation on the bottom line is going to be, I believe God's message for this hour. And there you can go any place you want. In the fruit, in the virtues, in the gift, the life, service, sacrifice, any way you go. That's always been there. But this hasn't been. Because we've come up to it. That which is perfect has come. No more parts. No more ages. Soon no more Gentiles coming in. The last with 144,000 bride. Tapering up. That's enough. That's enough. We'll start where we're supposed to start on Wednesday. We'll start where we're supposed to start it today. Nice of you to come. Appreciate you being here. Love you. You know I do. I know you love me. I know that for a fact. No problem there. Just the grace and virtue of God. Keep praying. Keep your hearts open. Keep waking up at night. Keep thinking in the daytime. Let the thoughts of God come more and more into your mind. And you'll see the revelation become richer, deeper, sweeter. And one of these days, after more enduring and more hardships, because they're coming, I don't think we've even seen anything what we're going to see. To be honest with you. You better get the bread stored up, the water stored up in this famine. Better get the strength, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. It's that sword. Better get ready because it's coming. I may not see it, but yet I'm not sold I can't see it. Can move just any time. The world feels a duty bent to destroy South Africa. That could be the key to the next great step of what's going to happen in this world. Man, the great muscle man, the great righteous one. America, the bunch of hypocrites. Because what they did to the Indians, trying to show now we're good guys. Bad guys always were bad guys, honey. It's in the blood. It's pity about America. Pity it. But anyway, that's the way things are going. There'll be a squeeze come in. They'll close us up, no doubt. Maybe I'll come to grace. I wish I never said the hard things I said, but then I'll admit I said them because it can't happen. What they do, I don't know. God knows. But I know one thing. We're here for a purpose. If this is it, we believe it is. There is no way that God will not endue His bride with what she needs for what it takes at that hour. That's true. Because we've seen it already. And it's got to go on. Shall we rise? Heavenly Father, again we want to thank You for Your love and mercy. The grace of God which we have in Christ Jesus our Savior. We cannot praise You enough, Lord. Father, we're grateful that You put in our hearts in this last day to believe what we have seen and what we know, Lord, to be true for this hour. Father, we would never have known outside of ourselves. We would never have guessed. There's nothing in us, Lord, of ourselves that except what You had already established in us through natural election, predestination. We could not have known except for that little seed in there that this and this hour had anything to do with us or anything else, just some kind of phenomenon. But Lord, whatever was in us said, this has got to be it. And how do You change? Or how could we change from what's within us? You got a left foot, right foot. Left eye, right eye. We got senses, perception. We got automatic system. Motor controls. We're just what we are, Lord. We can't change it. We can't add a cubit or stature. Can't restore a hair that's fallen out of our head. Can't do it. People try substitutes here and there, but nothing works. Lord, we can't change. There was something in us that said, this has got to be what it's told to be. Father, may that grow in us as never before, believing this is right, until that within us that accepted this becomes so one with it, and we believe it's the life of Christ, and no matter what comes, just like You, we'll take our cross and follow You and hold not our lives dear unto death. And if it means death, deprivation, some of us have been through that, cold and hardships, been through that. If that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. And there'll be that in us that'll be able to bear it. Because You said there's no testing given You, but it's common to men. There's nothing anywhere at any time that we can't bear and won't bear if we're one in this truth. And You said at the end time we'd be one with You. And that's a great thing to think about. So, Lord, we just calm our hearts and our minds as we realize we're so different in our thinking from the multitudes of people, the majority. And we don't despise them. We don't discredit them, Lord. We just try to say what You've already said and what You've judged. And if that's going to cause us trouble, then, Lord, it's going to have to cause us trouble. But You promised us peace and whatever is necessary, that You'll raise an ensign for us in time of trouble. The waters will not
overfloweth, and those weapons formed against us shall not prosper.
Yes.
But Lord, you can take us through somehow in victory. Father, we don't know what lies ahead, but we do know that you're still the master. You're sovereign God. So help us, Lord, to devote our energies, our life, the very life in us, human life crucified unto divine life, so that this life is for this hour and this word will come forth to the final glory until we're taken out of here with those resurrected saints of God who've gone before us. Lord, let not one person in this building miss it. May the simplicity, Lord, and I've tried to be simple. I know, Lord, I can't do a good job. But may your Spirit take what's been said and reduce it to a simplicity. Just a little panoramic, as the prophet said. A little picture, a little epitomized eternal picture. Come into people's hearts and believe as never before. Lord, you alone doing the work. And unto thee we'll give the honor and the glory, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's go sing. Take the name of Jesus with you, okay?